Welcome to the ministry of Berean Baptist Church in Boone, Iowa. This Sunday, April 12, 2020, is going to be highlighted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Certainly, we celebrate Easter Sunday as Resurrection Sunday, and are thankful that our Savior is a living Savior. Let us thank the Lord for this wonderful truth of His resurrection at this time. Father, thank you for your Son who came and gave his life for us. But Father, we're so grateful that he proved that he was your Son when he came forth from the grave. We are so grateful that he lives in the heart of each one who has received you. And Father, that he is still available to those who have not called upon you at this time. And so, Lord, we ask that you might bless your word. Help us, Father, to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our message today is faith under fire. We find it in Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 down through verse 26 we'll read this morning. In Luke 24, verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I'm told that Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And these two disciples were walking there and talking. And we find in verse 14, it says, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, and that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying, that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them," being Jesus, he's talking to the Emmaus disciples, "he said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Has your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ ever been put to test, or, as it were, put under fire? Certainly, these things do happen to people as they journey through life. And we know that we are many times like the Emmaus disciples. Our faith is tested by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look at some things this afternoon about faith under fire. One is that the faith of the Emmaus disciples was ravaged by massive and multiple assaults. In Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 through 24, you know, there are two kinds of unbelief in the world today. There is the unbelief of unbelieving sinners who have never received Jesus Christ. They are blind to the truth that Jesus died for them and rose again. And Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They know not that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, can be theirs by faith alone." The second kind of unbelief is the disbelief of the person who has trusted Christ as Savior. These are those who have invited Christ as their Savior, but now are questioning who Jesus is to them because of some of the crisis in their walk with the Lord. I want us to think about a man in the Old Testament, and his name was Job. Job was a man of incredible faith who lost his possessions and his 10 dear children, plus his own health. Yet in those crushing tests, he was able to say, "Naked came I out of the womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then in the midst of his fiery trials, Job was able to say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day on the earth." As he endured endless days of trials, he came to the point that he considered God distant from him and begged God for a response from him. That when God spoke to Job, Job replied, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." It was when Job finally came to trust in a sovereign God by faith that his previous words became a reality. In those words he said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job's faith was tested to the max. Mary and Martha is another example of believers who had their faith tested when their brother Lazarus became sick and died. When Jesus came to comfort them in their grief, they could not understand why Jesus delayed to come to them earlier when Lazarus was just sick and not had died. Both sisters said a gigantic, "If only you had been here, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened." And Jesus had not come for a specific purpose because he wanted to teach them that they could trust him even when he was not physically present. They were learning to walk by faith and not by sight in the loss of their beloved brother. Even when Jesus called for the opening of the grave of Lazarus, they were uncertain about his intentions. In John 11:25, Jesus had spoken to Martha and he gave her a wonderful promise that she needed to trust him. Jesus said in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Certainly Jesus proved that faith in him is never disappointed when he called Lazarus out of the grave to life. If you have a lost one that trusted Jesus as their Savior, be assured they will come forth from the grave on the great reunion day at the rapture. Your faith as a believer may be tested. At that point, it is so important for you to know that you have a living Savior who always keeps his promises to you. Now let's look at the faith that ravaged these Emmaus disciples by multiple assaults. First of all, we want to look in Luke chapter 24 and verse 18. It says there that Cleopas answers Jesus' question, and he said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that which are come to pass?" He was saying, are you someone who hasn't heard what all of Jerusalem has heard about? That Jesus died on a cross, and he was the one we love so dearly. And these things have disturbed us to the very core of our being. And so that was one of the things that was attacking their faith. Another was not only the disturbing events, but also the disappointment of their expectations in verse 19. We find there that the Emmaus disciples said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. They believed that Jesus truly was the Messiah, but now they couldn't understand how a Messiah would not be a conquering king and just a suffering person on a cross. And so they had missed the fact in the Old Testament and in the New Testament times when Jesus walked with his disciples that Jesus came to save guilty sinners that would put their trust in him. You can only be saved when you trust Jesus as your only means to be set free from sin's penalty. His death brings joy to your heart, to our hearts, because God accepted his sacrifice for our sin when Christ arose from the grave. Then beyond disappointment and death, there was disbelief that came to them. And we find that here in the next verses, that they said that we had trusted in verse 21 that he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, this is the third day since these things were done. They came with a sadness in their belief. Why didn't Jesus fulfill their expectations? Certainly the sadness of disbelief will only be cured when you know the testimony of the risen Lord Jesus is a reality. You can trust fully. Others can tell you the truth that Jesus is alive, but you must believe the truth that Jesus died and rose again in your own heart. Romans 10:9 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And then there was a final, certainly, attack upon their faith that was despair. And we should not despair when there are people that come and come against those things that are there. But you will need to never despair in a living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Emmaus disciples' despair turned to great joy when they realized the living Jesus had been in their presence. You and I need to remember the great promise of Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Our Savior is not missing or dead. He lives within every believer. You will remain sad until the living Savior comes in your heart and corrects all the misunderstandings about him. Once you allow Jesus to live in your heart, you will have overflowing joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Also, we find in Psalm 147, verses 1 through 3, these words, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Michael Peck wrote in a devotional about these verses that he said, I don't know what you are facing this moment, but I can tell you that on your worst days, God is still wonderfully and fully worthy of praise. Trust him. He wants to bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. Certainly, Dr. Peck wrote that on the third anniversary of his wife leaving him for heaven. And he found that to be so true, that when you praise him, that Lord will lift your heart as the living Savior. There is a second point I want us to emphasize this morning. Not only was the Emmaus disciples' faith ravaged, but it was also restored by the Savior. And we find that in verses 25 through 27. The Bible says, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of the heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You see, the problem was with these Emmaus disciples that they thought the crown came before the cross. But that was never God's plan in the Old Testament, nor is it for us to think that way today, even though some would like to put the kingdom before the cross. So we want to talk about the rebuke that Jesus gave to the Emmaus disciples in Luke 24:25. The disciples were consumed by the events of the crucifixion of Jesus. However, they lacked a biblical context for those events. The Jewish people of Jesus' day were looking for a deliverer from the Roman occupation and oppression. They were looking for a temporal deliverance, not an eternal deliverance. It is all too easy to want what you want and not what God wants for your life. The Jewish people wanted a conquering Redeemer and did not understand the suffering Savior in the Old Testament. They were like so many today, wanting the crown before the cross. That was never in God's plan or in the mission of Jesus Christ. The rebuke of Jesus was direct to the Emmaus disciples, and that they were acting foolish and of slow heart to believe in him. Certainly, they should have known the Old Testament better and listened more carefully to the prophecy of Jesus on his coming crucifixion and resurrection. And so Jesus gave them an exposition of Moses and the prophets. I want us to just think a little bit about Moses, what he wrote in the book of Genesis, and then later on in the book of Numbers, and then to look at the prophets. First of all, Moses. Abram's offering of Isaac on Mount Moriah was a foreshadowing of the Heavenly Father not sparing his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:32, we find, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Jesus also had cited the brazen serpent that was lifted up to save Israel from destruction earlier in Numbers 21 when he was speaking to Nicodemus. He declared to Nicodemus vividly that he would be lifted up at the cross, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Certainly, Jesus made it clear that the prophets, what the prophets said about him too in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was the substitute for sinners. Isaiah 53 verse 9, "He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death." Certainly he was one who hung between two crosses, two thieves on both sides, one who rejected, one who received Jesus. And Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, had provided a virgin grave for Jesus to lie in as a fulfillment of Isaiah 53 9. Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hands." Here we find a combination of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was in their Old Testament passages, but somehow the Emmaus disciples missed that. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." The piercing of his side at the crucifixion is prophesied there as well. But Jesus also walked with these disciples, and he had spoken undoubtedly with his own disciples, and perhaps even the Emmaus disciples were there in their company. We don't know that for sure, but in John chapter 2 and verse 19 and 21, Jesus had said at the wedding of Cana, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up." He spake of the temple of his body. In John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18, he said, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I have power to take it up again." In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 18 and 19, the chief priests and scribes, he said, shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. This was repeated by Jesus at least 3 times to his disciples. And so, like the 11 disciples and the Emmaus disciples, believers today see only what they want to see in the Bible many times. You and I miss what our Lord has done for us, what he is doing for us today, and what he will do for us even in the future. Certainly, we need to have sweet fellowship with him and his word each day. You and I need to have the living Lord open our eyes to the truths written about him in his living word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Our faith is only going to be restored as we allow the living Lord to speak to us. Are the scriptures an open or closed book to you today? You can only strengthen your faith by spending time with him and obeying his word, even when it is difficult. The Lord is ever with us, but we need to draw near to him. There is a third point I would like to share with you today, and that is the Emmaus disciples' faith was revived by our living Lord. And we find that as we go through the rest of this passage here in Luke chapter 24. The Bible says in verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And so we find the Lord came to revive their faith. Now, as I think about that today, certainly it's important for us to understand that the Emmaus disciples were blessed by the living Savior. The living Savior came to their home. He was placed in the honored position as a host. He broke the bread for the others at the meal, and then he blessed the meal. How good it is to be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The living Savior opened their eyes to his presence also. We find there in verse 31, and their eyes were opened. Remember, their eyes had been blinded. They didn't know that it was Jesus when he was initially talking to them. But now their eyes went open when he had broke the bread. And as he broke that bread, undoubtedly, they saw the prints of the nails in his hand. And certainly, as the Lord did that, their eyes must have gone open to know that it was Jesus Christ. And yet, he did not spend much time with them. He left very soon. He vanished. But beloved, Jesus has said to us, he will never leave us nor forsake us. We may not see him with our physical eyes, but we can see him with the eyes of faith. The next time you are tempted to be lonely or forsaken, remember the risen Lord is at your side. The Emmaus disciples also had their faith revived. Notice what it says further after this verse 31, verse 32. It says, And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? There is the key. The Lord Jesus had given them the Word of God so that they could understand it and make it real in their own hearts. And now that Word was burning in their hearts, and they were so glad about this good news that Jesus Christ was alive and they had seen him. Oh, that is something that is so personal. And they rose up the same hour to tell others of the resurrected Lord. They went to broadcast the message. They were encouraged with the greeting of 11 disciples and others. And we find that in verse 33. It says, And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And so they heard these other 11 disciples say, The Lord is risen indeed. It is always good to say to fellow believers on Resurrection Sunday, The Lord is risen indeed. I hope that you will say that to whoever is in your family today, and that you will be rejoicing together, The Lord is risen indeed. It is impossible to say those words and hear those words without having your faith revived. It could be that you do not have faith and that you need to receive faith. Certainly, I would like to read you from a little book that I have. This book is called The Case for Easter and is written by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel wrote about this ministry, and once I catch on, you'll see his name here on the screen. As you look at this book, on one of the last pages, Lee Strobel gives his own personal testimony how that as an atheist, he came to know Jesus as his Savior. I want to read you that. He said, Because of the evidence, I now believe Jesus to be the Son of God. He had thoroughly investigated as an investigating reporter. Did Jesus actually die? Did he actually come forth from the grave? But he says, to become his child, it was necessary for me to receive the free gift of forgiveness that he purchased with his life on the cross. So on November 8, 1981, I talked with God in a heartfelt and unedited prayer, admitting and turning from all of my wrongdoing and receiving the free gift of forgiveness. and eternal life through Jesus. I told him that with his help, I wanted to follow him and his ways as best I could from that moment forward. Some people feel a rush of emotion at such a moment, but for me, there was something equally exhilarating, the rush of reason. Looking back, I can see that this was nothing less than the pivotal event of my entire life. Over time, my character, values, attitudes, priorities, worldview, philosophy, and relationships began to change for the good. So much so that a few months after I became a follower of Jesus, our 5-year-old daughter, Allison, who had previously only known a father who had been a profane, angry, verbally harsh, drunken man, all too often absent as well, walked up to my wife and said, "Mommy, I want God to do for me what he's done for Daddy." In effect, she was saying, "If this is what God does to a human being, then that's what I want for me." Even at an early age, she experienced an authentic spiritual transformation that shines through her life to this day. And so I trust that, like Lee Strobel, you will believe, you will put your trust in Jesus as your Savior from sin. Believe that he arose from the grave and then receive him. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Will you become a child of God today?